Well, last week we talked about, and could you put it up there, the spiritual goal? Just leave it up this morning if you could, Paulette. Thank you. We talked about the HFA spiritual goal, that we would each spend a minimum of 15 minutes in the Word each day, and we would read through the New Testament in the year, each one of us. That's doable, isn't it? And one of the things that's for me in my life that really influences me and drives me is I look for the activity of God. Especially as Spirit-filled believers, we don't ask, what would Jesus do? That's a great question to ask. But we ask, what is Jesus doing? And when you see Jesus doing something, then you need to get involved in that, right? And so that needs to be part of your spiritual DNA, is that you're looking for the activity of Jesus, what Jesus is speaking, what the Spirit is speaking to the church. So this was on my heart to have this goal for us for several months. And then 4 weeks ago, Pastor Dustin on a Sunday morning preached on Josiah and when they found the lost scriptures. And that morning, I thought, okay, God's speaking to me that this is the time. And this morning, I went to Kenny and Janice's Sunday school class, and Kenny made reference to that Sunday morning message again. And then Janice was challenging her class, was challenging the class about being in the Word every day. And so I finally got a moment to lift my hand and say something. And so, you know, Janice wasn't here last week. She was with her dad and her mom in Dallas. And she doesn't know about the goal that we ushered in, that we challenged everyone to. And so I said, this is the activity of Jesus, that He wants you in the Word. It's interesting. Someone said to me this week about that's been working on the challenge. They said, I have binged movies before. Any of y'all, especially younger ones, been guilty of that? Binging movies, getting a series or something and watching all of them, or watching all the Star Wars together. And but she said, I've never binged the Word of God. I thought, man, that's pretty good. But you know what? Sometimes we do. Kind of, you know, it's like an eating disorder. You know, if you only eat once a week and you just kind of gorge yourself, what's that? That's an eating disorder. And so spiritually, Deuteronomy 8 and 3, which was the scripture that Jesus quoted when he was tempted by the enemy. And remember, I told you last week, he wasn't speaking that to the enemy. He was speaking that to himself when he was tempted to turn that stone into bread. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that the Lord says. You see, you do not live. Some of you are already getting hungry because you didn't eat breakfast. Well, you should come to Sunday school, because most of our Sunday school classes have some kind of food. In fact, I visited two of them this morning. I got sausage balls in one classroom, and I got Brenda, I don't know what it was, but I hope they have it in heaven, because man, it was good. Dan, I'm surprised you're not 800 pounds. That's because you work so hard. I know why. So you're hungry. But what you're hungry for more than anything is for spiritual nutrition, because man does not live by bread alone, but we live by everything that the Lord says. So today is Palm Sunday. And on this day in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, Jesus got on a donkey, which even that is a great lesson about listening. Can you imagine if I walked up to Brad and I said, Brad, I want you to go to Ida Bell, and then halfway between Ida Bell and Broken Bow, you're going to find a horse tied up, and I want you to just go and untie that horse, and I want you to just bring it back to me. And he says, whose horse is it? I said, just go do it. And Jesus told them just like that. They went and got it. And when somebody came out all defensive, said, what are you doing? They said, the master has need of it. And they just stepped back. And Jesus got on, so they listened to his voice. They listened to his voice, the disciples that went and got that colt. And as they led Jesus into the town, you know, we call it Palm Sunday, because the town just went ballistic. I mean, it was like their college had won the NCAA championship. Their NFL team had won the Super Bowl. I mean, just everything at once. The town just came unglued, and they were out there worshiping Jesus, cutting down, I mean, just cutting down limbs from people's trees, you know, crawling in people's yards and ripping limbs off the trees and throwing them. And Jesus rode in, and they cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And by Friday, the same crowd was screaming, crucify. Man, are we not fickle? Not all of them were, though. In Deuteronomy, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 through 20. And the title of my message this morning is Choose Life. Choose Life. You know, you're going to eat lunch today because you want to live. And your stomach begins to growl, and there's a hunger inside you that drives you. But there's a spiritual hunger inside of you that is craving for life. And we search for life in so many ways, but oftentimes it's the wrong direction. And so this was the word of the Lord. And after they've been given the law, Moses says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death. You have two choices in life. You can choose spiritual life, or you can choose death. Now, heaven is life. Hell is death. But a lot of times we're more concerned. We're like, oh, fire and hell and brimstone. No, what motivates me is that you can have what you have dreamed of, what you yearn for, what you crave for, what you will never get in this life. And it comes by following God. So he says, before you is life and death, the blessing and the curse. Do you want the blessing or do you want the curse? So choose life. Now you would think that would be real easy. But the problem is, you have temptations. In the same way that Jesus was tempted, and he was showing you the way. And when he was tempted, he responded each time with the word of God. He repeated the voice of God to his temptation, to himself, so that he could remain strong. And let me tell you, you may say, hey, I don't want to spend an eternity separated from God. But you can't just say it. You can say, I don't want to gain any more weight. And then when the little waitress comes around at lunch and she says, dessert? And you say, yes, please. Now, it may be your day for dessert. I know at least one person here that once a month, they head out to Brahms to get their ice cream. Disciplined in it. But you see, you have to choose. It's not just saying, hey, I want life, but you have to choose. And you have to choose, and the way you choose is you've got to know the voice of God if you want life. Now, I think everybody here wants life. I want the blessing, not the curse. And talk to Willie. Talk to Vicky. They talk about, when I'm with them at times, they'll talk about what it was like before they found the Lord. The blessings that they've experienced and the blessing that is just beginning to be realized, because the real blessing is in heaven. So choose life in order that you may live and your descendants. And then verse 20 is it. He gives us three ways that we choose life. First of all, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him, for this is your life and the length of your days. So three things: by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. Now, we did a series this past year on "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." So we're not going to focus on that one. We're going to focus on the next two this morning. And it says, by obeying His voice and by holding fast to Him. To choose life, you must do these two things. You've got to obey His voice, and you've got to hold fast to Him. New Century Version translation says, you've got to stay close to Him, to obey His voice. In Isaiah 55 and 3, we've referenced back to Isaiah 55 throughout this year. It says, listen that you may live. Listen that you may live. So we're talking about this morning about choosing life. Now, are you in pursuit of life, or are you in pursuit of dust? You see, when you were created, it says that God formed you from the dirt of the earth. I think we can relate to different things here. I mean, you kind of think about your vegetable garden you just turned up. Or think about that dirt road. That might be a good thing for some of you to think about that dirt road. Some of you, that dirt road gets you in trouble. That He formed you from the dirt, from the dust. But then He breathed into you. It was His voice that brought you to life. Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2, it says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. You see, you are always getting hungry and thirsty in this life. You are always looking for what will satisfy you. And it's no matter what you get in this life, or what relationship you enter into, or what new pair of shoes or Easter dress that you purchase, it will satisfy you for just a moment. But Jesus, the Word of God, says, if you will come to me, listen, if you will come to me, you won't even have to buy what I'm going to give you. And it will satisfy you. Where life is to be found, where true life is to be found, does not cost money. You cannot buy it. It's free. You've just got to listen to His voice. Jesus, in the beginning, when He began to preach the gospel, and when He began to call people to follow Him, He said to them, come follow me. Isn't that what He said? He said, come follow me. He called them with His voice. And in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 24, it says, "And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me," now do you wish to come after him? I mean, come on, that's where there's life. There's only death here. This world ends in death. Every one of us. Back to the dust. So don't place your hope in this life. But we fight this constant battle every day. Some of you fought it this morning. You wanted to just turn off the alarm, or when you woke up, you thought, well, maybe I'll just drink coffee and go work out in the garden this morning and not go to church. No, you've got to follow His voice. And so He says, as He was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to push yourself down. You see, Jesus' human inclination when He was tempted and He had the power. Man, can you imagine that? It would have taken me a few minutes to decide what kind of bread I wanted that stone turned into. Do I want a biscuit? Do I want some hot French loaf? Do I want granny sourdough bread? Come on, He was human. He had a favorite. Just like you. He had a weakness. But He never surrendered to that weakness. He denied Himself. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He said, you've got to take up your cross. My cross is different than Shannon's cross. My cross is different than Loretta's cross. Each one of us, the burden that we carry as a father, my cross is different than Cortland's. Each and every one of us, we must bear our cross and we must follow him. So he says, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. It is a call to follow him. You must lay down your life. You got to lay down your desires. You've got to lay down your sinful inclinations and your sinful ways. It's laying down this life. This life. You see, because what you've got to realize is although you are living and you are breathing, life will never be found in this life. You'll never find it in this life. That's why it goes back to Isaiah 55 and 1. It says you're searching, you're buying, you're putting on big banquets, and you're never satisfied. But when you surrender to Jesus, you go on a journey of finding true life. But when you surrender what you expect out of this life, so you got to surrender what you expect out of this life and place your trust in God for a life above this one. And you will have that life one day. But that comes about by hearing His voice and following His voice. But here's the thing. You see, Psalms 23, we love that. He talks about the Good Shepherd. And you see, you can't separate yourself for a day from the Good Shepherd. That's why this is so essential to your life. Because just like you eat two or three meals or maybe four meals a day whenever you get hungry, you have to daily get His voice into you or you will fall by the wayside like Judas did. John 10, 27 through 28, it says, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. You got to tune yourself into His voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. That's incredible. They follow me. You see, you have to follow him to get that eternal life. You can't just be acquainted with him. He can't just be an acquaintance. He's got to be your God. He's got to be the one that you follow. Because in that, goes back to Deuteronomy, that's how you're choosing life. You got to choose life. You did it the other way, didn't you, Keith? Man, then there was just death in that life. But one day he chose to choose life. And it changed his life here for the better. And it changed his eternal destiny. Moses told the Israelites, he told them that they would turn. Read Deuteronomy. I know it's kind of get slow. Get an easy translation, New Century Version or something, New Living Translation. But over and over, he told them, you're going to stop following me. You're going to stop obeying the law. And when you stop obeying the law, you're going to get imprisoned. They're going to come. They're going to take you from your homes. I mean, some of it was, kind of graphic stuff. Said you're going to be engaged to a girl, and they're going to come along, and they're going to drag her off. And still, they would not follow the voice of the Lord. They were commanded to remember the way God had led them. Deuteronomy 8 and 2, it says, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness." See, you've got to remember his voice, and you've got to remember how he has led you in the past. Now, it's interesting there. It says how he has led you in the wilderness. Well, you know what? You know where you're at right now? You're not in Beulah land yet. We sing on Wednesday night. We're not there yet. Right now, we're in the wilderness. The wilderness is our experience. In the picture that we see of the children of Israel coming out of their bondage, being set free by the Lamb. They're set free. It's the Lamb that sets them free, right? It's when the Lamb is sacrificed that they're set free from their slavery. And they dance and they shout their way out of Egypt. And some of you, same way. Man, when you got saved, you got set free, you shouted your way out of Egypt. The sky, Julie talks about it. She said the sky was blue when she went outside. And I used to tell young believers, I say, man, now get ready for it. Don't know when it's going to happen. It may be 3 months. It may be 6 months. It may be a year and 6 months. But one day, everything's just going to kind of seem to fall apart on you. I remember one of them, Dwayne, coming to me, and he said, man, it's happened. Exactly what you warned me about. Man, this. He went on. Man, we were both crying when he got through. You know what happened? He got to the Red Sea. And God was teaching him to trust him. Well, then God took him across. And what did they do? Boy, they just danced across there on dry land. Going, look at that. Ain't my boot ain't muddy at all. I ain't got to have my muck boots on. Look at that. Just walking across. And then they look around. They get scared because, oh no, the Egyptians are coming after. That's the journey of faith. So they for 40 years, they're in the wilderness. You're in the wilderness right now. You're waiting to go into the promised land. But you've got to choose life, and you've got to keep listening to his voice, searching it out in the book. What you hear him say to you, do you do it? Do you do what the Lord says to you? I mean, the Lord speaks to you. The Lord's speaking to you this morning. Some of you, the Lord spoke to you last week about this right here, and you didn't do it. You felt good about it then, and then you struggled. You know what it says in James chapter 1, verse 23? It says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was." Now, can you imagine? I don't want to get off into this because of our culture today. Can you imagine? Who can I pick on this morning? Is Jimbo still here? It might be more fun this way, Leah. Can you imagine if Jimbo went and looked in the mirror, and Jimbo's a man. He's a man's man. He looks in the mirror, and then he walks away, A little while later, and he goes, "Did I look like a man or a woman?" Something wrong with that dude, isn't there, Howard? He can look in the mirror, and that's what it says. You forget what kind of person you are. Can you imagine? But that's what it says. If you only listen to the Word of God, and then you don't do it, that's the kind of spiritual person you are. You've forgotten who you are spiritually. And see, in your life, you've got to grab hold. And man, if you're a man, when you look in that spiritual mirror, you need to look in it and you say, "There's a man of God. And I'm going to walk according to God's ways, not my ways." When someone throws me a beer, I'm going to throw it right back to them and say, "Man, I'm drinking water today." Not going to fall into those temptations because I want to live as a man of God. I'm going to listen to His voice. I'm going to search out the Word of God and His truth. But prove yourselves to be doers of the Word and not merely hearers. It says, if you don't do what it says, then you're deluded. Then you're deluded. There may be times where you say, "Man, I'm not hearing the voice of God." Then you need to get on your knees and you need to ask God to speak to you, to speak into your life. So we have this goal. Let me give you some practical things for how you can be a doer of the Word of God. Our goal is 15 minutes a day minimum and read through the New Testament in a year. You've got to schedule time with Him. You've got to set aside daily time. Whatever it is that works for you, you've got to schedule it. Let me challenge you this. Some of you got your favorite TV show. 7 o'clock Thursday night. Know where you're found, or when the ball game's coming on. How many times have you set apart and have you said, "Okay, 8 o'clock Thursday night, I'm going in the living room, I want everything quiet, going in the bedroom, I'm going to spend the next hour just reading the Word of God, reading through a devotional, reading through a good spiritual book." Then you've got to also take time last night. And yesterday, for those of you that are doing New Morning Mercies devotional, I'll talk about that a little bit more here. We're going to have some for sale soon. But those of you, was it not fantastic yesterday? Was it not awesome? Wasn't it good, David? Man, it was good. Last night, you know what I did? The family wasn't home yet. I went in the bedroom, propped up the pillows. I grabbed it again, and I read it again and just meditated on it and just thought about it. That was my plan. And then I just listened to what I felt like the Lord, listened to God to speak to me. You got to meditate on what you've read. Take some time to meditate on it. Sometimes what I do in my spiritual life is I'll just take the Bible and I'll just start going through and just reading the things I've highlighted and just meditate on those scriptures and think about them. And then this right here, which is so important. This is Paul Tripp speaking. We can't afford to get Paul Tripp here, but we can quote him. Paul Tripp says we're spiritual amnesiacs. That's James right there. We forget. And so you've got to speak. You preach to yourself more than I will preach to you, more than Robert Morris, more than any podcast you listen to. What do you say to yourself? You're the biggest preacher in your life. And what you say to yourself had better be the right thing. And it had better be you repeating the voice of God and what He said into your life. And then you've got to not just hear that voice, you've got to obey that voice. And when you obey His voice, you choose life. You choose life for yourself. So the second thing that He said to them in Deuteronomy is He said, you've got to hold fast to God. And I'm going to have to do this fast. I got 5 minutes for this one. You got to hold fast to God. New Century Version translates it, stay close to Him. Now remember, we're choosing life. So if you want to stay close to Him, yesterday it sounds like on the trail that Dustin felt like Jen, to stay alive, to choose life, she had to stay close to Him. I can see him. Jen, get back on the trail, honey. You know, Jesus tried to tell Peter. Jesus tried to tell Peter what was going to happen to him. He told him. He said, Son of Man, real clear, I mean, we just have what's written. We know that probably multiple times that aren't recorded that he talked to them about it. He set them down and he said, I'm going to Jerusalem, okay? You understand that? Maybe he had them repeat him. I don't know. Okay, everybody say, disciples say, Jesus is going to Jerusalem. Jesus is going to be arrested. Jesus is going to be crucified. Okay, did you get that? Peter said, no, get behind me. Pulls him aside. Chews on him a little bit. Can you imagine trying to correct Jesus? Poor Peter. But let me tell you this about Peter. Peter didn't always get the voice right, but Peter stayed close to Jesus. You know what? Peter stayed close to Jesus. If Jesus was holding a healing, Peter was there. If Jesus was feeding 5,000, Peter was there. If Jesus was walking on the water, Peter was walking with him. Peter was always there. He had a knack, he had a desire, he had a drive, he had a love, or he just had the plain common sense that he might not always comprehend it, he might not always get it, but he was always there with Jesus, wasn't he? And you see, one of the things, because he was so close to Jesus, was he learned how to follow his voice and stay close to God, even when he didn't understand it all. Peter makes this incredible confession of faith in John 6:68, after there are those who are leaving Jesus. In John 6, I mean, Jesus laid it out. If you want life, eternal life, read it. John 6 is an amazing scripture. John chapter 6. And at the end of that, it says many of them were leaving, chose not to follow Jesus anymore. And he turns to Peter and he says to him, Peter, you going to leave too? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. It's kind of like when a church goes through trouble. You don't leave. Where else are you going to go? It's the church. Now, Peter didn't understand it all, just like we don't understand everything about the journey of our life. But Peter believed. When Peter denied, we talk about this a lot. When Peter denied knowing Jesus to that teenage girl, why did Peter do that? He did it because it did not happen the way Peter thought it would happen. He couldn't figure it out that Jesus was on trial in the middle of the night. He knew it was going to happen, but he couldn't understand it. It wasn't how Peter thought it would happen. And so in the middle of his confusion and his frustration, he curses and he says, I don't know the man, I've never seen the man, but one thing about Peter was Peter stayed close to the man. We all have our times in our lives when we don't understand. It's not happening the way we thought it would happen, and we don't understand. But Peter kept his faith in Jesus, because it goes back to his confession in John chapter 6. He says, where am I going to go? Even if this thing goes completely wrong, I'm going to stay close to Jesus. He was there at the trial, only him and John. He jumped out of the boat just a few days later and swam to Jesus. He was so anxious to get close to him. You got to make a point of being at a place where you can be close to Jesus. the gathering of the church. That's what you're doing here this morning. Colossians chapter 4. I don't have the worship team to come. Colossians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, Paul wrote a letter, the inspired word of God. He wrote a letter to the church in Colossia. Can't even pronounce it right now. And he said to them in Colossians 4:16, when this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. Can you imagine missing that Sunday? You show up the next Sunday and you say, hey, what was it about last week? They say, Paul wrote a letter to us, inspired by God. Well, what was it about? Something about do your work for the Lord was said. And there was this great part to our Archippus. Take heed to the ministry to fulfill it. Yeah, God told him to fulfill his ministry. I can't remember much more about it. Can you imagine missing that? Mark 1:35, it says, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went to a solitary place where he prayed. You see, Jesus, how he made it, he was in communication with the Father all the time. You've got to be in prayer. Luke 4:16, it says, and Jesus, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read, as was his habit. Jesus was in the habit of being at church. Let me tell you what, I need it even more than Jesus. Amen? It's how he overcame temptation. That's why the drive is worth it, isn't it, Willie? And David, I love this about David. You can grab hold of this for your life. This can be one of the dreams for your life. From Psalms 27 and 4, David wrote, and he said, one thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. What David wanted for his life, with as long as he was living, he wanted to keep going to church. He didn't ever want to be a shut-in that wasn't able to make it. God bless those that end up in that situation. That was his prayer. Have a dear friend, Herb Peake, in Bristol, Tennessee. That was his prayer. He's in his 80s now. They thought he was going blind when he was 70 years old. That's the prayer for his life. He would say, I'm here again, Pastor. It's my prayer. I don't want to ever have to miss gathering with the people of God. Because you see, when we gather together, did you feel it this morning? I felt it when we dedicated that baby. I wouldn't miss that for nothing. You can have, you make a decision. You say, okay, two Sundays a year, three Sundays a year, that's what I'm gone from. And then when you're gone, you find a place to worship. We'll finish with John the Baptist. You see, John the Baptist, he was the one that declared that Jesus was the Messiah. John 1:29, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When he saw Jesus, he shouted it out and he said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I myself have seen and I have testified that this is the Son of God. Then in verse 33, he said, he sent me to baptize in water and said to me, he whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon, this is the one. The voice of God has spoken to him, gave him a sign. But there was a while later when he was languishing in prison, and he began to doubt because he wasn't getting a miracle. And so he sent some of his followers and he said, go ask him, is he the one? And Jesus said, tell him, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the gospel is preached to the poor. And blessed is he who does not fall away on account of me. Because they were first cousins. They were cousins, maybe not first cousins, they were first cousins. Jesus' ministry is just skyrocketing, and John the Baptist is in prison. But the great thing about John the Baptist was he knew when he got discouraged where to go. And he sent word to Jesus. And I can just see old John sitting in prison saying, well, I said it, didn't I? God told me to say it. He must increase and I must decrease. And soon his life was over. But not really. His life had just begun. And you know, Jesus had even said it. He said, there's no one that's going to be greater in the kingdom of God than John the Baptist. It wasn't just about here. It's about choosing life forever. Will you choose life? And in order to choose life, you got to do three things. You got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You got to love him. And you know, when you love him, you'll obey his voice. You know, you might not hear him speak to you every day. Some of you, we've heard him speak in different ways. He spoke a simple word to you, change. He spoke to me one time. Do you trust me, Mark? Other times, don't hear his voice like that, but man, when I opened the scriptures last night at 9 o'clock, I heard him speaking to me. His voice. It's because I was choosing life. Because I was staying close to him. Choose life. Love him. Obey his voice. Stay close to him. And you'll have life. And you'll have life eternal. I want you to stand with me this morning. I want you to close your eyes. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you would say, Mark, I need to surrender my life to Jesus this morning. I need to surrender my life to him. I've been doing it my way and I want to choose his way this morning. Hey, maybe you're here this morning and you would say, yeah, I believed in God. I pray sometimes, especially if things aren't going real good. Did you realize this morning that you haven't been choosing life? You haven't been loving him. You haven't been obeying his voice. You haven't been staying close to him. And this morning, you just need to say, I need to get all in. All in. All in. If that's you here this morning, I want you to raise your hand. If that's anyone here this morning, I want you to just raise your hand. Thank you. Are there other hands this morning? Raise them up high so I can see them. Any others this morning? Feel like the Lord's dealing with others. God's dealing with you this morning to choose life. This life is not in this earth. It's not in this world. I want you to pray with me this morning, you that have raised your hands. Just repeat after me. Lord, I come to you this morning with a realization that I haven't been choosing you, that I've been living for myself and not for you. So I ask you to help me this day to obey your voice, to stay close to you, and to love you with all my heart. I choose to make you my Lord and my Savior. I choose life this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As the worship team closes in a song, we're going to open up the front for prayer. If you need prayer in any capacity, maybe you need to respond to this message. Maybe you're struggling physically or financially, or you've got major decisions and changes ahead in your life. If you need prayer this morning, we invite you as we close in this final song, come to the front and receive prayer.